Welcome to the Executive Connect podcast, a show for the new generation of leaders. Join Melissa Arskog as she speaks to a wide variety of guests that bring new insights into leadership, prosperity, and personal growth. While no one has all the answers, by building a community of open-minded and engaged leaders, we hope to give you the tools you need to help you find your own path to success.
Welcome to the Executive Connect podcast. I am excited to have my friend Wendy Howe with us today to talk about making a meaningful impact. Wendy is CEO of Executive Council Network, previously Chief of Staff for Cisco, executive roles at M&A and strategy at Symantec and Veritas. She is a true people alchemist and connector and builder for all things good. She's passionate about supporting women and the entrepreneur ecosystem and a staunch advocate for giving back. Thank you so much, Wendy, for being with us today.
You are so welcome. I'm really, really excited to be here. I know this is going to be a great conversation.
I want to talk a little bit about a defining moment when you realize the power of making meaningful impact on people. I remember my first experience with you. It was very meaningful. So from your perspective, how can people do that?
I have one of my favorite stories when I was just like this sort of watershed moment. So I started mentoring a young girl, and this is, it's a while ago, but I was on the board of Girl Scouts of Central Texas, Women of Distinction. That's where I met her at one of these events. And she's like, will you be my mentor? I said, absolutely. We were working together for a couple of months, and then I did a sponsorship of their robotics team. And fast forward, about 2 months later, they actually won the state championship of robotics. So I was there, of course, and she came up to me with like huge tears in her eyes. And she's like, we never could have done this without you and your help. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So like that moment, and there's been lots of others. And I know it was same with you, Melissa, but that moment really just sort of struck a chord. I'm like, yep. Okay. This is super important. And I need to be doing these things all the time. And I think a lot of it, Melissa, comes from my own background and journey. I grew up like lower middle class, I guess I would say, in the Midwest, and ended up making my way into tech leadership with zero technology background at all. So I use that as as a story to show girls, young women, and women that like really anything is power anything is possible with the power of tenacity. And I've lived by that, and my edict is say yes and figure out how. And I use that, as a story for women or girls, whomever I'm mentoring, right?
I love that. I know that when I first met you, I felt so understood and appreciated and heard. And you're like a magician in doing that when you meet people, just instantly connecting with them, instantly making them feel special. So what has inspired you to really prioritize making a difference in people's lives? Because you are doing this all over in the board seats you sit on through 50-50 women, for entrepreneurs, for women.
Yeah. Like,
and you've really prioritized making an impact on people.
It's interesting, that question. I love that question because I was thinking through this. I'm like, can I come up with any specific single uber inspiring event? And what I realized is long time ago, regardless of coming up in, lower middle class, middle, the country, I realized like today I have such a great life. And it came to me that my viewpoint was, this is not an option for me to give back and drive impact. It is a responsibility. It is my duty to give back, to support, to build communities, and to drive impact, not only locally, which I love to do because we live in a great place, Melissa, but, across the globe through, some nonprofits, et cetera. And if you think about what would our world be like if everyone were like a you and an I and an Omni and, people that really are focused on that as like part of their part of their core. I just think it should be a part of everyone's core, but you know, that's just me.
And you know, it's true. It's having a pay it forward mentality and not being mm-hmm. transactional with your relationships. I think we've moved into a place where everything's transactional. You do this, I do that. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, when you're trying to really connect with people and really impact people, if you look at those things as transactional, you're going to be heavily disappointed because people are going to let you down at some point or another. So how does this show up in your everyday life for you? Like, how are you mindfully showing up every day, making an impact?
Yeah. And also in thinking about this question, to be give you sort of like, you know, behind the covers, to be very transparent. This is way back when I'm living in the Bay Area. I was one of those people where a nonprofit would come to me and say, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. Could you sponsor? Could you do a donation, et cetera? And I was at Cisco, so I did a lot of sponsorship. And I would be like, yep, we'll write the check. It's all good. Here you go. But I wasn't in there doing it and like actually having my hands on it. So while that donation or sponsorship may be very impactful to the organization, I wasn't touching it. I wanted to really impact people directly. And I sort of determined at that point in my life that I wanted to be the person who's truly driving impact and touching it myself. My very first nonprofit that I was on the board of was Girls in Tech. And that is sort of where, as they say, I found my jam. As soon as I joined that board and I was really involved in all of the events and I was mentoring and helping people and speaking, I was like, I realized impact was going to be sort of what I would call the cornerstone of who I am. And that's what drives the activities that I choose to do or the boards that I'm on or the, you know, just activities in general. There's a lot. So we'll get into that in a bit more detail later.
Yeah. And I think you do it so eloquently and kind of, I think of, you know, like a conductor playing an orchestra. It's natural for you. Like it's natural for you to follow up with people and to take an active interest in their life. Not only that, but making sure they're moving the needle in their life, whatever that needle is. And so when I think of impact, I think, you know, it's not just tech, it's not just women, it's not just entrepreneurs. It's, you know, if it's about their family or their jobs, or it's impact across all pieces of people's lives. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the girl that you had mentored. So how do you continue to grow those relationships and continue to make sure these people are moving, you know, through their goals while making an impact? I guess the question's more like, how do you make sure that your success in impacting these women are continuing to make ripple effects?
Yes. And I think that's a really good question. So one of the things that I try really hard to do is, you know, look at every one of these relationships, every one of the people or organizations that I'm trying to help. You have to continue to be involved. You have to establish this cadence, if you will. For example, I actually, because I'm a dork, and I keep a journal of my success stories, not mine, but what I have driven with people that I've worked with, whether that be individual people that I'm mentoring, whether that be a nonprofit that I'm very passionate about, a nonprofit that I'm on the board of. It is continuing to stay involved. And you know, to be quite honest, ultimately what happened to me is I ended up on 6 boards. I was on 6 nonprofit boards and mentoring 1,000 people, you know. So you really do. I had to like have a talk with Wendy, like, Wendy, you need to think about this, because if you're on 6 boards, you are not giving your full or your all to every one of those boards, and maybe not even any of them. So I'd have a long, hard chat with Wendy. And, you know, come to the fact of, okay, what are boards specifically is what I'm talking about now. Two, you know, what are your top 2 boards and what are the top 2 things that you're super, super passionate about? And stop with the other boards, you know, back down from the other boards, but continue to support those organizations in other ways. And that could be, you know, volunteering, speaking, you know, mentoring, whatever that is. So I had to really have a think about that. Because it's, I do not say no. I have a like horrible time saying no. So maybe you can be my accountability buddy, Melissa.
I have got no figured out. So I am happy to do that for
good
you.
Girl.
And I think you touched on a really good point I want to dive a little deeper on. So, you know, we're all experiencing cognitive overload all the time, constantly. There's a lot at us. There's a lot of changes in our personal, our life. As we get older, our parents age, we're helping, as women, we help a lot of people, and it takes a lot from us. And one of the things you touched on, keeping a journal of people you've mentored and keeping track, I think that's a really good point, in a sense that if you have relationships with people and you can't remember their husband's names, their kids' names, who they work for, it's hard to remember all these intricate little things about people. I'm an Apple person, Apple phone person. I put those pieces of information in my notes part in my phone, so I can keep track of, you know, how's your son Johnny? How's your husband? How's your wife Susie? You know, did you guys move into your new house? And that's an easy way to remember something special about that person. And I know it's happened to me where people have remembered my husband or my son or different things about me. And I'm like, oh, wow, how do they remember my husband's name? And I challenge everybody listening to think about who has made an impact on you and what have they done to make you feel special? Was it remembering your husband's name or your child's name? And I would challenge you to replicate that to others, because it's one thing to see people and engage people, and it's a whole nother thing to remember that they like, you know, football, or they have children, or that they're looking for a new job. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about some tips and tricks on how you, I know you mentioned the journal, how you are able to, I mean, you have a massive network of people that you're constantly impacting and moving, like you mentioned, 6 boards. That's a lot in a day's work to keep track of and do. So any tips or tricks that you have that you can share with our listeners?
This is good. Oh, and by the way, something that I know Melissa is very passionate about is fine wine, and she's a foodie. So these are, I call them, and this is stolen from the show Parks and Rec, friendship nuggets. I'm leveling up right now. I put little friendship nuggets in my head. A lot of it is really just, you know, it's my memory. And when I meet someone, and it's just like when I met you, we're going to be friends. I can tell already. So I have that energy and passion to really remember the little things, right? As you said, which make people feel so special. And then I'm also a user of the notes in the iPhone as well. My issue, Melissa, as I think you've noticed, is oftentimes I do not have my glasses with me, and I'm an old lady who's blind as a bat. So I'm like, I have to hold my phone out here. So I'm thinking of, like, maybe I'm going to start to carry an iPad with me so I could see it's better. But yeah, it's, I do have a good memory. My husband said, it's like, we'll walk into a room. And I was like, he's like, who's that one? I was like, that's Melissa. She's a booty. She likes fine wine. He's like, who's that? I'm like, that's so-and-so. They just got a new puppy. So part of that is just part of Wendy. But then, you know, I do like to keep a little extra set of notes on the side for sure.
I love it. Are you familiar with Jim Quick at all? His memory. I've read his book a few times. And it if you haven't and you don't know Jim Quick.
No, I haven't.
Great.
I know all of him.
Okay. It's a great book to read for those that struggle with names or things they have to do. He has a really quick YouTube channel on how to remember things. So when you walk in a room and you, like you mentioned, your husband doesn't remember names, it's a really interesting way to tie, you know, people's personalities or the way they look back to their name so you remember. So he's really great. If you haven't read his book or listened to any of his audio on YouTube, he's great person.
Okay, so for the audience, hello. Fun fact and great quick trip, and I guess hence the name Jim Quick. Is that his real last name?
Yep, it's his real last That's name, awesome. Right?
Yeah, my husband's getting that.
Yeah, go get it. It's a great book. he had a brain injury, actually, and he wasn't. So his story is fascinating to learn about how he ended up in where he is in writing the book. So it's a great book to pick up. But
does he have a TED Talk?
I think he has done some TED Talks as well.
It's sounding familiar now that you're telling me the story. That's
Yeah. So when you first, tying back to what we first started with, when you first meet somebody, you don't know them, you don't know their name, you don't know where they're from, you know nothing about them. Walk me through what happens for you when you're first meeting somebody for the first time, and you're trying to connect with them, make an impact. Like, how do you go about, you're in a networking event, you see, you know, a person. Walk me through your process of meeting and connecting with people.
Yeah. First off, I am the world's biggest extrovert. So it's very easy for me to feel comfortable in, you know, large crowds or small intimate. And I'm a hugger. Like if I meet someone who knows someone else, like, I think I probably hugged you the first time I met you. That's just me. It's part of Wendy. But what I do is I try to go like it's about you, the person that I'm speaking to. So tell me about you. What's your background? What are you doing? What's your focus? What are your passions? I always ask about that as one of the very first questions, because instead of what company do you work for? And what do you do? That's not nearly as personal as tell me what your passions are. Are you a dog person? Here's my line when I'm talking to maybe someone new who's thinking about Executive Council Network. I was like, well, let's talk, you know, tell me about you. And let's start with personal. Dogs, cats, kids, family, goldfish. Tell me about that. That's like my one liner. And I use that all the time. And people usually laugh when you throw the goldfish thing in. They're like, well, and one person has actually said, yes, I do have goldfish. So that I thought was really, really funny. So that's just a weird little, I don't know, I guess a mnemonic that I use, and just like trying to get personal, you know, without being in someone's face. And for the most part, even, you know, obviously because I'm so extroverted and, you know, talking to someone who's like really quite introverted or shy could be sometimes uncomfortable, but that even works with someone who's an introvert and shy. When you just throw out that, you know, tell me about your passions and like your family and dogs, cats, kids, goldfish, that seems to really just like break a wall down. Or it has for me. I don't know whether it works in all instances, but it's been great for me.
And that's a great, great point. So if you're not extrovert, I'm a recovering introvert, now extrovert. And so I think for people that aren't extroverted, Wendy makes a really good point, is having a question that you're comfortable asking. So something that you're comfortable asking people, you know, I used to be one of those people that would walk in a room and stand by myself until somebody'd walk up and feel bad for me and talk to me. And I really had to force myself out of that comfort zone. And I led with, you know, why are you here at this event? What brings you to this? And why are you involved in this association? Or how did you hear about it? So I think she made a really good point coming up with a question. And I'm similar personality. I think everything's got to be fun and funny, and I'm in, right? And so if being fun and funny and spunky is not your thing, pick something that is your thing. Pick something that's true to you, because it will come across authentic to the people that you're talking to, and trying to build a relationship and impact through your conversations. And, you know, this happened to me years ago when I was first working to become a better networker, is putting myself in these situations that make myself uncomfortable. And that saying, you know, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with, has always resonated for me. So I'd always wanted to be an extrovert. So I always hung out with extroverted people. And over time, I became an extroverted person. So, you know, tying this kind of all back together, I think, you know, you really are a masterful networker. And not because you are an extrovert, because you care. I think that's the one thing about you that I love, is you truly care. You don't ask about people's dog, cats, and goldfish. You do that to get them to open up, which will lead you kind of to the second layer. Okay, they say they have no animals. And then you're going to ask them something else about to get them answering so you can connect with them right away. I think you do that right. Fabulously and naturally. You have a UT sweater on. Did you go to University of Texas? Are you a Longhorns fan? You find something to connect no matter what the situation is with people.
And it's just so, it's so fun. I mean, it makes actually, you know, the dreaded quote unquote networking so much fun. And there's such a difference between, you know, I think of people who are maybe trying to get on board seats and stuff like that. Cause we do this event all the time with ECN and there's like, there's networking. Like you walk into a room with 1,000 people, there's that. But then there's really, there can also be, I use this concept of very intentional networking, you know, and if you go in with a, this is what I'd like to accomplish at this type of event on this day, you know, as opposed to just, I'm just going to go in and meet 1,000 people. I don't think that's necessarily for me, only for me. I don't think that's necessarily as productive as, you know, the event I was at last night where I was speaking on a panel and I was very specifically wanting to meet other community leaders that I hadn't met yet. Like there was 5 people on the panel and YJ from Dell. So I knew all of them as community leaders, but I went out and met, I don't know, at least 5-8 other community leaders that I hadn't yet connected with. And, because South By, right? So it's more than just our Austin crew, which I love. I love our network here in Austin, but that's, maybe being intentional. I think, especially if you're an introvert, I think maybe like doing some very intentional networking, like I want to try and meet 2 people who fill in the blank or 2 people that fill in the blank. That I think might make it less overwhelming for someone who's not like, like Wendy. So, and Melissa.
And that's a great point. I think, you know, if you're going into a network event, you know, nobody setting, like you said, I want to meet 2 new people and having prepared in your brain what you need. So maybe you're looking for a job or you're new in town and you're looking for a network of people to connect with. Being mindful and aware of what you want out of that event. I'd like to connect with 2 people. I'm new to Austin. I'd like to build a community around me. And when you meet somebody, telling them that, hi, I'm Melissa. I'm new to Austin. I'd like to learn the best places to eat in Austin. And I'm interested in tech. Who should I connect with here? I mean, when you ask that in networking and in a community, people are more than happy, in my experience, to help you get whatever your ask is. And if they don't know, they'll probably point you in the direction of somebody else that might know.
Absolutely. And I think that's a brilliant point. And I think I come from, I'm not from originally, but we spent a lot of time in the Silicon Valley, my husband and I, both working in tech companies, a lot of tech companies. But I was forever just fascinated and impressed when we moved here to Austin about the difference in the personality or culture of that space. I'm not slagging the Silicon Valley, but I am. You know, there it is all about how can I beat you? How can I compete with you? How can I do this? Drive, 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 fast, fast, fast. And we all do that. When I got to Austin, and that was one of the things that just made me so happy here, as it's sort of a natural networker, is people come up to you and be like, hey, I'm Bob. How can I help you? How can I partner with you? I was amazed by that here. And I think if we could replicate, there's something special about where we live. I think if we could replicate that. And I was slagging Silicon Valley last night on my panel. I'm not going to lie. It's like, but we have a really special sort of community here. I think, regardless of whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it's, there's people for everyone here, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah. Well said. And I think I want to plug back into another thing you mentioned at the beginning was you say yes a lot. And I think that's another good quality to do is to say yes, to get out of your comfort zones, to try different foods you've never tried, to go to different events you've never gone to. And I always say, like, say yes within boundaries. Don't say yes to being on a board if you know you don't have the time to be on the board. You got to say yes to things that you know you have time to do and you can show up and be present in those things. So
I think that's to my point. Yeah, not having you know, having said yes, even too much, you know, and I'm a recovering yes person. So it's not that I'm going to say no to everything, but I just try to be more focused so I can make sure I can give, you know, 100% to those things that I'm involved with as well.
Yeah, making sure you're gonna be able to keep your commitments and do what you say you're gonna do. So top three things for people that are either extrovert or introvert, if they want to work on making an impact on people and having better relationships, from your perspective, what are like maybe top three things they could work on or do?
Yeah, well, one, and we were just talking about it, is, but for me, it's like, what are your absolute top passions? I mean, if I put it in a little sentence or winning, it is, I'm more passionate about making connections and building community than maybe anything. Like, that's like my top. So everything stems down from there. So I would say figure out your top, you know, one or two, maybe three passions, and focus in that area from both a networking perspective, from a where you want to give your time back to, i.e. if it's, you know, girls in tech, well, there's a big global girls in tech nonprofit that you can go and spend time with and give back. And I guess I would say, thirdly, is, you know, don't, and we just talked about it, I think those are the top three, don't overcommit your time, because then you will not be providing the value that you truly could if, you know, if you're a little more balanced. And in our world today, as you well know, Melissa, it's like boom, 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 boom. Everything's going 1,000 miles an hour. And to your point, we have careers, we have families, we have dogs, we have aging parents, we have all those things. So, Brooke, who works for me, she talks about the word boundaries a lot. So just know you can do tons and you can give back and, you know, connect and support the causes that you like, but you still have to maintain your own personal and family boundaries, I guess, is something that I'm working on, and I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying.
We're all a work in progress. We're all working on something. So
WIP, exactly.
Thank you so much for your insights today, Wendy. How can the listeners connect with you, keep in touch with you? Tell us about you.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, LinkedIn. I really don't do any other social media anymore. I do everything really on LinkedIn. Then I just had to get back on the Facebook to help my daughter find a new flat in Dublin. Don't even. So it's just, yeah, I mean, just, you know, live life knowing that the more that we can give back, the better, like, the human race is. But yeah, so LinkedIn is where to find me. I do run an organization called Executive Council Network that's really all about connections and community and lifelong learning and, you know, speaking opportunity, all sorts of great things that we do for our members. But the fifth core value that we have at UCN, and not in any particular order, but the next core value that we have is social impact, is driving impact in the world. So that's my story, and I was sticking to it. Those are where my passions lie.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here today. And that's Executive Connect.
You've been listening to the Executive Connect podcast. If you have questions or ideas on how to bring leadership to the next level, email us at executiveconnectpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you can catch every new episode. Until next time.